Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's episode is with Annie. Annie works for the NHS in a high-stress job, and she realised then, during COVID, how she was relying on alcohol to relax. Now that she's sober, what she's actually started appreciating is how beautiful the journey is. One of the things I love about Annie is that she immediately planned in really cool activities alcohol-free. The first one being for a sober birthday, and she loves going on these sober retreats and sober holidays. I hope you enjoy the episode today.
The January came and I just thought, right, you know, you get a taste of what it feels like to be alcohol-free and you just want to keep, you know, go back to that again. So in the January, I decided, you know, I'm going to do this again. That was now the third time I'd tried to take a break. Since that moment, I tried to pick that bottle of wine up to put it in my basket. And I was lucky in that January, that was January of 21, I started to reach out to people, make virtual friends on these groups and link in with one of the coaches on the group, a lady called Ellie Crow. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to push myself. I know that I've done a month three times now and I'm going to do this again. And so I decided to join her group. Still didn't tell my husband. I told him I was joining a health and wellbeing group and I decided to go off and do this with her instead. And it was just the moment that so much opened up to me because, you know, just being in a small group with another five women who were scattered all over the world as well, it suddenly made me realise that, you know, there were people outside of the UK that actually are also wanting to give up alcohol and that it's not just me, you know, you're not alone. And these other women, oh my goodness, you know, we shared so much in that group. We became pretty vulnerable with each other. You know, we were able to really talk quite openly about alcohol in our life and what it had done for us, not done for us, how we'd used it. Yeah, I think in a way that was the start of me developing sober friendships. What I wanted to say as well is that when I was in the January alcohol experiment, I did actually meet up with a lady called Maria, who was somebody that I'm going to come back to later because we bonded over the fact that she works for the police, I work for the NHS, we'd both come to the pandemic with so much stress. And yeah, I think, you know, meeting people through these groups and forming these friendships is just what completely drives you forward with wanting to carry on, you know, that accountability that you have with them. So Ellie Crow teaches us for the first time the most amazing things that I'd never even heard about before, like meditation, mindfulness, journaling, values and beliefs, you know.
Yeah, they're massively important. Yeah.
Oh my God, I realized that I was actually spinning out of control. You know, one of the reasons that I think that I was so stressed during the pandemic, but not just then, you know, at the beginning of those teens, as we said earlier, you know, not having a work-life balance or really putting most of my values on work rather than what really, really mattered to me, which for me, having done a values exercise now, understanding that actually my values are very much about my own health and well-being plus my family. Work doesn't really figure in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was pushing everything towards my work life and not spending enough time on myself or on my family. So developing those practices and really understanding a little bit more about myself through those kind of exercises that we did with our small group was just life-changing. It really was.
Values are unbelievably useful to understand because we all kind of intrinsically know we have them, but unless you're really aware, and they can change over time, your values as you have a family or as the family grow up and as your job changes, you'll find they do morph and change. But what I noticed when I did my values, and I often work through this with clients as well, is that alcohol impacts on pretty much every value that I had. And that's another way to show how alcohol is impinging on things that are really important to us and pretending it doesn't.
Yeah, you're right. You know, the values were totally clouded by the alcohol as well.
And look, I mean, you went through the pandemic in a way that people, the majority of people didn't. I was pregnant at the time, so I was going into people like you and having scans and relying and trusting that it was safe. I was being told it was safe. I mean, it's a very intimate kind of thing, isn't it? When you're in a room with a sonographer, it's really quite close proximity. It was very intimidating. And I should imagine it must have been for you as well, really quite worrying.
It was, you know, because at the very beginning, when we didn't have any PPE, a sonographer has to scan a patient at arm's length. So you're in breathing space. So, you
Yeah.
know, it's either you could catch it from us or we could catch it from the patient. Do you know what I mean? And so it was a very stressful time, the bit at the very beginning when there was no PPE in the country and only the intensive care staff could have it. I think there was a lot of just hugely highly stressful staff.
Thinking about the stress that everybody else, because we were all thinking of all the medical staff and the teams working, but actually thinking about the stress that you were going through, not stopping, not having a day off, and then you trying to unwind in that highly stressed situation.
Well, do you know what I realise now? And it was only from listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago, actually. The term anhedonia, I totally get now that I had anhedonia and wasn't aware of it because all of those micro stresses, they build to the point that you hit a wall and you do feel sort of blah. You have absence of joy, absence of happiness. You know, I realize now the alcohol was really contributing to that. It wasn't allowing me any space to recover. So, like you say, little things that you may not have noticed coming in as a patient were big things to us, you know? And it was like you have multiples of things going on during COVID where we felt a little bit out of control. You know, to the rest of the world, we're looking like, yeah, we're coping and everything. But at the same time, for me going into work, it was multiple micro stresses throughout the day. You know, that conversation with a member of staff that was scared to go home to a relative, the woman that was pregnant, you know, dealing with meetings, dealing with never-ending policies and whatever. And you would get home, and the only way to sort of have that relief was to have the glass of wine or the bottle, I should say, and just to put those thoughts to rest. And it was a false way of being able to relieve the stress that I was under at the time. And I'm sure, you know, there'll be multiple other NHS staff who probably were feeling exactly the same way because we didn't have that outlet to be able to say, look, you know, we need a break. I need to tell somebody I'm not coping because you just had to cope. You had to run. You had to go with it, you know.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that must have been like actually working within the NHS at that time. I've got
You know
so
what
much
was really
respect.
lovely, was all of the wonderful gifts, you know, that people sent to the NHS and the lovely praise that we heard. The people standing outside or hanging from the windows, clapping, the rainbows in the windows. I mean, you have no idea how much that made me feel really emotional. Every Thursday when people went out and did that, it was needed, definitely in those early days. But yeah, the rainbows, they've been a very big sort of consideration of mine in my whole alcohol journey. And the thing is, at the time, you know, we were looking at the rainbows, I think, as society, as something beautiful because we were going to get to the end of the rainbow and there was going to be a pot of gold and one day COVID would finish and we'd all be back to normal. And I think we were hoping that, you know, the pot of gold would come quickly. The thing is, the rainbow for me signifies so much more because my Instagram name is Alcohol Free Rainbow Rider. And the reason for that is, the moment I stood on the doorstep and heard the applause and clapped for everybody else as well, I was clapping for everybody. I'm feeling emotional and thinking, when will all of this end? When can I start to feel normal again? It's carried over into the whole alcohol-free journey as well. You think that the pot of gold is the prize, but actually the rainbow is the pot of gold. And it's about traveling the rainbow and enjoying the rainbow and enjoying everything that's on that journey. And I feel for me and my alcohol-free journey, I'm still on the rainbow. I'm still riding it. It means it's so much to me that the rainbows signify my journey from that COVID first end of the pandemic, first lockdown, putting that bottle of wine in my basket and taking it home and making that decision that, something needs to change here. And so I've been riding this rainbow. And, one of the things that I really want to do is to help a lot of other people who are in my position to be able to sort of rediscover life without alcohol, because there is so much more on the other end. It's about appreciating just how beautiful this journey is.
Yeah, which leads us so nicely then onto, because I asked my guests to come on here and talk about three areas of their life or three things that they have noticed in sobriety that they would never have been doing or feeling as a drinker. So what's your first one?
So my first one is awakening my senses, because, like I said to you before, remember, I'd done that first period of not drinking, and then I hit my birthday, and I used to have this thing where I always needed everybody else to celebrate with me. I could never celebrate my birthday by myself. I had to involve as many people as possible. And in 2021, I call that my moderation year, because even though I said to you that I started the year and did 100 days, I managed 138 days at the beginning of 2021, but then I kind of went back to moderating over the summer. But I really kept trying that year. I kept thinking to myself, I really want to keep going with this. And so I wanted to make that my year of firsts. And even if I had already had a drink at some point, or I'd had a little slip up, I decided I wanted to do a first holiday, a first gig, a first, I tried a lot of firsts. And this was the year that I had my first sober birthday. And I remember at the time that I had probably only been sober about 2 weeks, but I'd made this decision. I am going to have the first ever sober birthday I've had where I've not been pregnant and be able to enjoy my birthday without alcohol. And I thought to myself, well, how am I going to do that, with all of my friends who like to drink? This is going to be quite difficult. So what I decided to do is take myself off to this spa that somebody had recommended to me. And it was just outside of London, and it wasn't a spa that comes with a bar and a hotel. It was literally almost like a rejuvenation kind of type spa. They did really nice vegan food there. There was no alcohol, there's no bar, there was no coffee, there was no caffeine. It was a bit of a place to go and really just experience healthiness. They had all of the wonderful treatments and everything there, but they also did these classes where they did mindfulness, they did aromatherapy, they did, things that really kind of help with awakening the senses, if you like. And I went by myself. And this for me was really unusual, because I'd always wanted to celebrate my birthday with other people. So to be able to go away and spend 3 nights in a place where I actually did end up making friends with a number of other people that were there by themselves as well, which was lovely. But just to have the massages, the facials, to really relax and to go to the meditation mindfulness classes, to really, listen and pay attention to the aromatherapy class. We went out on a lovely nature walk and to experience the sunrise for the first time. I don't think I'd ever really got up and watched, the sun coming up before that birthday. And I just had the most amazing first few days of that birthday. And I tracked my sleep with my Fitbit. My sleep scores were amazing. And I just thought to myself, oh my God, I'd exercise there as well because they had a gym. So basically, every single sense was awakened during that time, which I had gifted to myself for my birthday and had gone and done something completely out of the ordinary for me. And it was just a moment of, I didn't need, so an awakening of, I don't need other people, to have this fantastic sleep and to have this energy and to feel as well as I did. It was all dependent on just me going with my senses to this wonderful place that allowed me to feel them, if you like, and experience them. So that was definitely one of the first times that I realized, oh my God, I can actually be by myself and feel great, and to experience the senses in that way. But then subsequently, I've been very lucky that I've managed to, in the last 2 years that I've been sober, I've kind of been tracking the amount of alcohol that and the money that I've saved on an app. And even though I've not really been physically putting it into a bottle or into a bank, I can see that I've saved that amount of money and I've decided to spend it on 2 trips to Bali. So
Oh,
I went to Bali in 22 and Bali in 23 as well. And again, going to a place like that where going to Ubud, going to a retreat where you wake up in the morning, hear the natural sounds of the frogs croaking, the cock-a-doodle-doos, you've got the cicadas. It was amazing. And then to see the sun rising, starting my day with yoga, beautiful yoga practice, and then gorgeous breakfast, provided by the chef there. And then we'd always do activities on these holidays, which had already been pre-arranged for us, but they were really wholesome activities. So we would do things like cooking together, Balinese cooking class, or we would go and make mala beads together where we could be talking and, drinking lovely tea and things. There was fantastic walks in nature, swimming under waterfalls, standing whilst the water just, oh, it was just amazing. I mean, just to experience my senses in a place like that, it was like one step further than that spa. Do you know what I mean? It was like, what to do next? And I think in a way, I've been chasing my sensory experiences ever since that time I had my birthday, because I just thought, I want to feel this good again. And so I love seeing sunrises. I love seeing sunsets. I love being by the beach and just watching the waves, as they come in and out. I just love the rhythmical ebb and flow of the sea. It's like things that I never would have found pleasure in previously suddenly become just the most amazing experiences that really, really fill me up. I'd never experienced anything like that. I was just running with life. And I wasn't paying any attention to my senses. So, now I feel like I taste the food. I really appreciate my food. I listen to the birds. I can go for a walk, even if I know I've got a busy day at work. My mindfulness carries on now. I can walk between my house and the tube station, and I will have experienced so much in that short walk because I've almost been trained to do it because of the experiences that I've been very fortunate to have. It's just having that mindfulness in your everyday moments throughout a normal working day. But yeah, experiencing the awakening of my senses has just been the most magical thing.
And if you'd like to listen to the whole episode, then head back to the 5th of March 24 on your podcast timeline, looking for Annie. If you'd like to find out more about working with me, then head to my website, louisaevans.com. I don't just support with sobriety, I also help with many other areas, including anxiety, overthinking, and low mood. On the website, you'll find lots of resources, including my online sober resilience course, and if you use the code RESILIENCE544 as a Sober Rebel listener, you'll get a 30% discount. And also a range of hypnosis recordings. Use code SOBERREBEL, all one word, to buy one, get one free. Self-hypnosis is a very powerful and effective way to begin to reprogram how we automatically think about things. You'll find a range of different topics on my website. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests on the Sober Rebel podcast for sharing their story and for taking the time to talk to me. The Sober Rebel podcast will be back very soon. I'm just currently recording some fantastic episodes to share with you. I hope you have a good day.